Listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, I want to thank our friend DJ Van Curen at the Family Office Real Estate Magazine for setting up this interview. We've got Joe Iacono and Kim Diamond. Joe is the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Partner at Crescent Capital Strategies. It's a premier full-service asset management firm. They specialize in commercial real estate debt origination and investment. Joe also serves as the firm's Chief Investment Officer. We've also got Kim Diamond on. She serves as the firm's Capital Strategies Head of Structuring and Credit. She does so with nearly 30 years of experience in the commercial real estate and structured finance industries. I still probably got Kim topped out, and I've known Joan for years. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How is it up there? You guys are, where are you, in New York?
We are. Yeah. It's. I'm sure it's not as warm as it is down there. No. We were experiencing spring weather, but it seems to have disappeared.
Well, I'm gonna point my hand up in that direction. I'm gonna send all this energy up you, and it'll start to be spring real soon. I promise.
All right. Great. We'll look forward to it.
All right, but the real estate market's hot. What are you guys seeing in the real estate market? I want to first of all thank DJ for putting us all together, and let's kind of talk about it with like a spin towards family office and high net worth real estate investors. So, what are you guys seeing as nuances in the capital structure that those folks are doing right now?
Well, I think family offices obviously have always had a soft spot for real estate, predominantly real estate equity, and invested in various different forms, whether it's securities or actually in owning predominantly partnership interests or direct 100% interest in real assets. I think the change that we're seeing, given where the real estate markets are and the amount of price appreciation we've seen over the past 10 plus or minus years, is I think a lot of folks on the family office side are keenly looking at debt as opposed to necessarily equity as an alternative to continue to allocate their dollars in real estate, which is relatively stable asset class, depending on where you play in the capital stack. And
it offers current income.
That's right. And the debt side offers current income, which a lot of the family offices love. So that's kind of a trend we're seeing with family offices and why we think it's a appropriate investment for many of them.
Well, let's take a step back now. Let's take a 50,000 foot view of what the folks in New York are seeing as this real estate investment market in general and South Florida specifically. The folks down here feel like it's always red hot, and it's red hot everywhere else. Is it red hot here? Is it red hot everywhere else? What are you guys seeing?
Seen a significant upswing in values over the last decade, so I think we're clearly long in the cycle. But fundamentals remain pretty strong. One of the things we have to take into consideration generally is that there are secular and societal changes that are having impact on real estate, some positive, some negative. For example, people like me do a lot of internet shopping, so bricks and mortar retail is suffering as a result, especially if you saw my credit card bills. But there are other property types that are benefiting from some of these changes as well.
Yeah,
that's right. By the way, we call Kim Imelda here because she's constantly shopping for shoes online.
Oh, come on. I'm sure nothing has a red sole in her. None of that stuff. Red soles. None of those.
Yeah.
So Joe, then let's take another step back. Let's talk a little bit about your firm. What are the product types you guys specialize in? What are you offering borrowers? What are you offering lenders? How do you play in the space? And I got to ask if you guys have some family offices that invest in some of your deals too. That's a whole lot to unpack. But Joe, why don't you take a shot at that, and then we'll let Kim play cleanup on it.
She'll probably.
Always playing cleanup.
That's what credit does.
That's so true. Well, we are predominantly a first mortgage lender, and we try to provide capital through debt for all the major food groups in real estate. Typically, we're playing somewhere around 75%, 80% loan to value. For projects, the loan to cost somewhere in that same range, 75%, will go a little higher, for example, on multifamily. We are typically a floating rate lender, so we see a lot of and invest a lot in transitional assets that are being repositioned for whatever reason, whether it's a leasing play, a CapEx play, a combination, or maybe a total adaptive reuse. And providing financing to allow investors and entrepreneurs to effectuate their business plan and then be able to pay us off. We also do some selectively construction lending across the food groups as well. And our footprint really is nationwide, but predominantly in and around the major markets, and probably around is probably more appropriate because our size, generally our sweet spot is loan amounts anywhere from $5 to $40 million. And so that's going to put us in and around the CBDs, and in some cases, depending on the CBD, in the CBDs as well. And we like markets that have multiple demand generators. We love the demographic situation, for example, that happens in Florida and specifically South Florida with so many people, thousands of people moving there daily. So those are great trajectories for us to underwrite into, and we like that dynamic for sure.
You know, I think some of the things that are important also to mention, Joe, are that as a private capital provider, one of the things, or probably one of the most important things we offer, is predictability of outcome. You know, we're nimble. We're not handcuffed by a lot of bureaucratic limitations as an organization. You have the principals who are making the decisions. We're able to be nimble, quick, decisive. We service our own loans, and so you don't end up as a borrower in the black hole of trying to get some servicer somewhere to respond to your needs on an ongoing basis. You know, we're pretty much with you from cradle to grave.
Oh boy, you just nailed all the CMBS and all the legacy deals from the last cycle right in the eye, didn't you there? Well played on you guys.
Well, that's part of what we're here for.
Well played.
That's probably, you know, we spent a lot of years working in the CMBS market, so we're very well aware of the challenges that it's presented and the borrower dissatisfaction.
Oh, thank God. So you're actually my lender of I would prefer to do a deal with you guys. Tell me a little bit about who your preferred lender would, preferred borrower would be. Maybe your preferred, if you do a JV, who would that be? Describe your type of operator that you're seeking and what's the channel that that operator typically reaches you through?
Typical, these are middle market borrowers for the most part. So experience level, these are entrepreneurs and investors in their and experts in their sub markets, wherever that may be. And and because they're entrepreneurial and they're not the big fund institutional, they're, you know, capital is important to them. Leverage is more important to them because capital is finite. And so that's pretty typical, but they're all generally reasonably to well-experienced sponsors.
Sometimes it's, in a particular property type. We're not seeing players that necessarily have experience across a broad spectrum of properties, but they're very well-versed in the specific asset class that they play in.
I could never tell who credit is on this phone call. Absolutely never.
You know, Joe and I have been working together for decades, and obviously we started out on the opposite side of the trades, right? I was always the rating agency person that told him no. The good news is now we're working together and we still talk. The bad news is I'm still telling him no.
Yeah,
that's good for the investor. That's good for the investor. And actually, I think it's good for your borrower, too, because it keeps your borrower from getting in trouble. Sometimes you got to say no to the borrower or they are going to get out on the head of their skis. Let me ask you guys something. I know we didn't talk about Chris. Thanks again to Chris, by the way, for setting all this up. Can you guys hang around and do another segment for me?
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. Stick with us. Chris again, Chris Santorelli, thank you so much for putting this together. Again, thanks to DJ Van Curen and Real Estate Family Office Magazine. We're here with Joe and Kim, and I want to thank them so much. They're principals at Crescent. They're a real estate lender, investor out of New York, and we're going to come back and talk about how high net worth investors and family offices see the real estate market, deploy their capital in the market with our two experts from New York. Stick with us. Thanks again for sticking it out, Joe and Kim. We'll be right back with more. I nailed it. It was Dolly Parton. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it was Dolly Parton. I knew it was Dolly Parton. Hey, they don't work 9 to 5 at Warren Henry. They burn the midnight oil for you, and they'll be out there at Supercar Saturday with me and Wanda and Polo. We're going to have a great time this Saturday from 10 to 1 out at the Lamborghini Broward store out at I-75 and Griffith Road. I got it right that time, Wanda. All right. Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Of course, up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in Key West, they've got them all. What do the cars have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant. You can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me, my mom, and that's right, my beautiful wife, Vivian. Hey, honey, I'm on my way home soon. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Freed and Wanda Miles.
Here's to you, Mr. Putting Green Hole Cutter at the Masters. You're the guy who moves the holes on the green from one place to another and then fill the old hole like it was never there. You keep each hole from being worn down by constant use and make the game more exciting, if that's even possible. So thank you, Mr. Putting Green Hole Cutter at the Masters, giving credit where little is given. You're our unsung hero of the day.
On 880, The Biz.
That guy is just amazing. Where do you find this stuff, Wanda?
Oh, you know, it takes time, but I am patient and it comes to me.
You're tremendous. You're absolutely tremendous. So are my clients at Sandstone Realty Advisors. I love working with my clients. I seek value system alignment with them. We see things the same way. We go out and we execute. I get them. They call me up. They go, Jim, I want to buy that. I help them buy it. They go, Jim, I'd like to finance that. I help them finance it. Maybe they're realtors. They need to get financing for their clients. Their clients need a $4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million loan for the condo they just bought or want to buy. I can help with that too. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, Wanda, thank you so much for giving us a little doff of the hat to the Masters. I'll be watching on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not so crazy to watch on Thursday and Friday, but I'll watch on Saturday and Sunday. It's a lot of fun. It's very relaxing.
Is that the last day?
Last day's Sunday. Hopefully the guy with the red shirt's playing. Then you won't be able to get near a TV in any sports bar in America.
Okay.
You got that right. Hey, I want to thank Joy Okono and Kim Diamond for sticking with us. They're principals at Crescent Real Estate Finance. I want to thank Chris for putting us together. And, of course, I want to thank DJ Van Curen and the Real Estate Family Office Real Estate Magazine for putting all this together. Welcome back, Joe and Kim. We're getting all kinds of good feedback on Facebook Live, so let's keep the good stuff coming, gang. Now, let's see. Oh, yeah. Well, look, I know you guys. I got credit. It was nice. I've got credit. I've got the natural tension between credit and origination. We're talking about real estate. You know what? Let's talk about alternative property types. I'm financing some memory care facilities. We're doing construction loans, bridge loans, permanent loans, memory care. It's freestanding. Now, that's an unusual property type. What unusual property types do you guys do? Alternatives, things that are out of the ordinary?
I think we see things like your memory care properties. We see a lot of creative office. Self-storage is pretty hot right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, self-storage is almost mainstream these days with as much as has been built around the country. But at one point in time, that was considered to be off the run.
100%. 100%. Now it's a hot mainstream property type. It's got REITs. It's got buyers. It's got everybody. What do you see as a property type on the horizon that's not getting much play, but you have an interest in financing? Because maybe we have somebody listening that's building one.
How about that?
I got some good questions.
I mean, I think this on the retail side, I think we're seeing some innovation there as it relates to experiential retail.
Ooh,
and people are really trying to approach that from a different angle. You know, retail is not dead. It just needs to position.
It just needs to be repositioned.
It needs to be repositioned differently. Kim, what about you? Any other property types you see?
I don't know. There's nothing that really comes to mind.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you that retail is not dead, that it's just reemerging. We've got our second half of the show is Arden Carson with the CBRE local office, and she's got their national retail thought leader on, and we talk about that. I'm not going to say what their answer is, but you guys are on it. It's changing. It's not dead. It's just changing. There's new ideas, new things, new retailers, new concepts, and as Kim knows, new places to buy on Amazon.
You got it.
Had to give it to you, Kim.
Now,
Joe, if you were going to describe your perfect borrower, what would that borrower look like?
I think reasonable experience in their field, whatever that expertise is in product type and market. A borrower for us that's in need of leverage that exceeds bank leverage, which is, frankly, most of the borrowers in our space.
And the reason why we exist
and the reason
to
why
a large degree.
That's right.
Well, you solve problems. That's what you do. You guys solve problems. That's why you exist.
That's right. Looking for structure, so someone that needs a lender that's creative that can help structure around any particular issues or difficulties surrounding his business plan.
Yeah, I think it's helpful when the borrower is realistic, too, with their expectations. You know, usually we get the first request, which is the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And then after we talk through things a little bit, we get the more reasonable request, whether it's leverage or pricing or term or lockout, whatever it is. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are going to love. Oh, I love your stuff. We're going to have a phone call after this. Chris gets a high five for what he's about to originate for you guys. There you go. Well done, well done, Wanda.
We don't have to cut him in on anything, do we?
Well, doesn't he get paid a flat fee? Hey there. We're talking about somebody's fee. We're already doing a deal. Let's go on. Okay,
exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about how the market's changed. What have you noticed between now and the quote-unquote Great Recession? What's changed in underwriting and origination? Since I got you both, I'm going to ask you both the same question. Talk about origination,
right,
Joe, and then Kim, what's changed in underwriting?
All right, perfect. I think the biggest change from downturn is the proliferation of private capital. So firms like us, unfortunately, we're not the only firm out there that approaches the business in a similar respect. And that was very different pre-downturn. Pre-downturn, pre-global recession, the banks, traditional financial sources dominated the market. And providing reasonable leverage all the way up, call it 80%, pretty regularly. Post-recession, that's changed. And so hence, firms like ourselves come in and can provide that gap effectively, which is the financing that's needed above where the traditional banks would stop out. So today, banks are traditionally lending somewhere between 50 and 60% LTV on assets. And borrowers are in need, entrepreneurs are in need of more leverage so they can attain their yields and also to do more transactions, frankly, because capital is finite. And so we lean into the transactions if we like them appropriately. And then Kim keeps me on my toes and makes sure I don't lean in too much.
I keep them honest.
Yeah, well, we all need somebody keeping us honest. But let me ask you this. We got a lot of letters and acronyms floating around out there today. What are CRE CLOs and why are they gaining prominence?
CRE CLOs are sort of like the friendlier version of CMBS.
I would take a different tact on that. I would say CMBS and CLO are forms of securitizing, so basically distributing portions of our capital stack. But CLOs are very different from the perspective that these assets are, it's a financing vehicle. So if I'm a lender and I originate loans, I can either hold those loans on my balance sheet unlevered, if that yield is meets my investors' expectations, or I can go to a bank and say, listen, I have this great portfolio of loans. Will you lend me money against my loans, which will enhance my yield if I do it appropriately for my investors, and also allow me to do more transactions, right? So CLO is just another form of that leverage. In this case, instead of going to a bank, I'm issuing bonds in the public markets and selling those bonds, and effectively that's creating leverage. But the big difference between CMBS and CLO is it really is truly a financing. I'm holding a large chunk of the equity underlying that financing and a very thick piece, and I'm servicing the loans, and these are loans that are not being sold. Again, it's just simply a way that I finance my balance sheet. Because of the nature of CLO versus CMBS, I have a lot of flexibility with my borrowers in being able to restructure transactions if need be, being able to extend if need be, being able to accommodate leasing and other issues that happen at the property during the life of the loan, whereas in CMBS, it's very restrictive in terms of what the servicer, who you're now dealing with in CMBS land, typically a third-party servicer that had nothing to do with the origination of your loan, whereas in CLO, you're dealing with us, who originated your loan, and there's much more flexibility in terms of being able to restructure and accommodate, similar to what a bank would typically do with their borrower. I mean, Kim, agree?
The vehicles offer a significant amount of flexibility relative to enabling us to offer future funding and fund future funding commitments. You know, we can take loans in and out of the vehicle. So from a borrower's perspective, it's the non-securitization form of securitization, pretty much.
Wow, that's absolutely terrific. It seems like that's the modern-day alternative to the CMBS, and you addressed all the CMBS stuff we were hitting on earlier and shaming the CMBS market with. So it sounds like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like this is the creative way to go.
From the borrowers. Yep.
We've only got like about a minute left. Why don't you guys tell folks in the audience how they can find you, and maybe we can get you back on the show again some other time to talk some more.
Sure. Well, we're available by email. We have actually info@crescentcap.com, info@crescentcap.com. We're certainly available by phone, 212-882-1224, 212-882-1224, I think those are the two predominant ways you can find us.
Well, that's pretty cool. I want to thank Chris Santorelli. I hope I pronounced that right, Chris. I want to thank DJ Van Curen and the Family Office Real Estate Magazine for bringing you on. Joe, I want to thank you so much for being here. Kim, I want to thank you so much. I want to remind you to keep Joe in line, and please try to keep the stress on your credit cards to a limit, a certain limit.
I'll do my best.
Well, I don't know how that's possible. Up at the Big Apple,
knowing
about Amazon, well, Joe's got to keep an eye on it. I think that's what it is. Joe, you just got to pay her more.
That's exactly
right. I'll tell you what, I'll keep an eye on him, and he can keep an eye on me.
That's what partners are for. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. And again, I'm going to thank everybody for being on the show. We're going to have Arden Carson and the CBRE Edge on after this. We're going to talk about new trends in retail, just like Kim was talking about the evolution of retail, how they're looking to finance people that are evolving. Now we're going to hear about how it's evolving for both the developer, the practitioner, and the consumer. There's something for everybody coming up after this. Again, thanks to Joe and Kim, DJ and Chris for this last half of the show. Joe, Kim, looking forward to doing deals.